Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Show and Vern. Someone stepped up? Brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
All right, just tell me the God's honest truth right now. Both of you. Ryan, you can give me a thumbs up too. Am I bougie because I don't like wine, seeing wine in cans?
Seeing it.
I don't. That's bougie. I don't like
seeing it.
I just saw.
Do you
this
look down
lately.
On others for drinking
I just
wine
believe
in cans?
Wine goes in a bottle. I've accepted it in a box because it's tradition.
How much
but
do you
I
drink
saw,
wine?
I saw it. Right. It's in my house. I saw it. I don't drink red. I can't do red. But I saw it in like pop can.
So you're gonna get home tonight and you're gonna crack open a nice Chardonnay. Yeah.
I might actually. I like a good Riesling. Yeah. I saw, and it's sure. not like stupid ones. I saw like one of my favorite wines, Kung Fu Girl. It was in a can, like it was Sunkiss or Coke. And I'm not about it. I'm not a fan of that. Wine goes in a bottle.
You're a clown, man.
I'm a clown. Ryan agreed with me. You know what time it is. Hey!
Show, good morning. The Patrick Peterson is going to be traded talk continues. This time out of the Arizona Republic. The newspaper says the cornerback not likely to show up at OTAs, and the trade talks continue to swirl in the desert. Here's 12 News in Arizona.
Okay, Peterson was apparently upset with management after hearing an erroneous report that he was being traded to the Kansas City Chiefs. Peterson posted some cryptic messages on his social media accounts and even went as far as to delete and change his avatar from the Cardinals to his collegiate LSU team. Somewhere in between, things were said or something happened that resulted in Peterson being upset with management.
Vern, you asked me this morning. And I think, I get so excited. You asked me this morning, and I think this is something everyone should chew on this in their mind. Thank you, that audio courtesy of Arizona, somewhere in Arizona, that he already mentioned it. But I think everyone should ask themselves, what is too expensive for Patrick Peterson? That's what you asked me this morning. Simple question. Realistically, yeah, 4, 5, 6, 7 first-round picks is too expensive. But if we're being realistic, I don't think really there's much anything that is too expensive. I mean, if it came down to it, 2 first-round picks, I wouldn't be mad at the Chiefs if that's what they felt like, especially if Tyreek Hill, who shouldn't be on the team, wouldn't be on the team. I wouldn't be mad at it. It is, to me, with that and linebacker are the two worst position groups on the team. And I saw Seth Kaiser write this in The Athletic, and I totally agreed. I can't think of a better fit for a team that is maybe a piece away from getting and winning a Super Bowl. And that's what it's about. It's about winning the Super Bowl, especially for this franchise who hasn't won it since 69 or 70 and hasn't been to one since that time frame. Yes. Like, to me, that's what it's about, especially for fans thinking about down the line and stuff like that. Nope. Winning the Super Bowl, to me, I would think would mean everything. I don't know. I've never experienced it. I saw what it was like with the Royals. I think the Chiefs are bigger than the Royals in this town historically. So I think it would be huge. And that, to me, is what it's about. It would be everything. Even I can't even imagine what it would be for this city and for the legacy of players on this team and coaches like Andy Reid, Mahomes, et cetera. It would mean Hall of Fames, I think. I think you could cinch it for a person like Travis. I think you could cinch it for a person like Andy Reid. I don't think realistically.
You're getting carried away.
Am I? No. I just realistically.
A Super Bowl would clinch a Hall of Fame berth for Travis Kelce in 2019.
If he continues.
All right. I know it's warm in here, but are you not feeling well? What the heck?
I am. It would. I think it would.
He's been the best tight end of the NFL for, what, a year, maybe two? And now he's a Hall of Famer with a ring?
2 years.
Stop.
He gets a ring. He's with Pat. They're playing in big games. Travis Kelce is well online to do that, especially with the ring well online.
I'm just saying, back off the – he wins a Super Bowl in 2019, then he's an automatic Hall of Famer. That's ridiculous.
90%. 90% sure Travis Kelce would be a Hall of Famer if they won a Super Bowl.
The first 4 minutes of this show, it has completely gotten away from you. I think too much of your fandom for the Chiefs, which I know still resides inside of you, too much of that fandom, maybe it's not for the Chiefs, maybe it's your affinity for Patrick Peterson and the idea of him coming to Kansas City, but this is all way too much. This is all way too much because the Chiefs, we agree, are already the second or third best team in all of the NFL. Do they need to improve the cornerback position? Yeah, we would like for them to improve the cornerback position. But it's not as if they are eliminated if they don't bring in Patrick Peterson. It's not as if they are a fake Super Bowl contender right now. You could use, you would benefit, you would be the clear-cut favorite in the NFL if you had Patrick Mahomes. But to say that there's no price that's too much for Patrick, no reasonable price for Patrick Peterson, that to me is taking it too far, like you did with Kelce. Man, two first-round picks to me is too expensive. I'll give you a first and a third. I'll give you a Frank Clark-like deal. But parting with two first-round draft picks when you're already one of the best teams in the NFL, two first-round picks, that to me, that's the answer. That's too expensive.
Yeah, to me, I wouldn't want to give away two first-round picks. But if it's in this particular franchise, it's different than in other places. It's different in other places who have experienced championships. I think a place like Cleveland, something like that, Kansas City, Cleveland, Detroit, Buffalo, these cities who yearn for this, and their team and Chiefs fans yearn for this. I don't think this has anything to do with it. I think it has something to do with the understanding of the people in this city. Yes, go get it. Two first-round picks. Man, if you really believe this is the missing link, and I think it's an arguable thing at the position that he plays. Listen, you know how I feel about Marcus Peters. He's better than Marcus Peters. He's better all around in Marcus Peters. You get a ton from him. Ability to punt return if you need be. His leadership. He's mature. He is a difference maker. And if he is the piece to get to a Super Bowl, which is this is about, and I'm Andy, and I am where I am, and I'm Clark, and I am where I am, and I'm Clark, and I'm sick and tired of Bill Belichick taking my dad's trophy. And two first-round picks, let's go.
Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. Your first chance to win $1,000 in the National Cash Contest is coming up at 10:30.
All right, Nikki, now that this is all sunk in, you said earlier that you hadn't stopped smiling, and clearly you have not stopped smiling. What was this experience like for you tonight?
This is everything I've dreamed of and more. I'm just happy to...
By the way, that's the first time we've ever had a splash from the guy that just did the interview.
Joel Goldberg on Fox Sports, Kansas City, along with the man of the hour, Nicky Lopez, following the Royals' win last night.
How about it? Nicky comes in, they score 11 runs. He contributes right off the bat in the first inning. I don't know if this is going to be unpopular, Vern, but, you know, I don't give a rip. I'm going to say how I feel. And I am a big Whit Merrifield fan. This last week, and we'll get into it today, he got me going the same way. I think he got a lot of people going with, well, a lot of people were going with Danny Duffy's Bury Me a Royal comment. Whit has gotten me going. The moves, that the things that he's done here recently. Vern, Whit can't do the salvage splash. When I watched that, I just said, no, No, the only person to me that should be able to do the splash, in my opinion, is Salvi. I don't. If Salvi were there and made him, and he would have been a made man.
Bath.
No, well, he. Come on, it's synonymous with him. Damn it, in Westport, they had a photo where you could take where they put it up on a billboard. To me, the only person that comes out and does the splash is Salvi. If he were there,
yeah, he's never dumped a bucket of Gatorade on anybody.
If he were there and
nobody
he did
ever
the
did
splash,
that
but who is it synonymous with, Serta? Who is it synonymous with?
Just because he was the only Carl guy that Banks? Played every day.
No. Now, I'm not even going to talk to you because you're not being serious. Because he's the only guy that played every day. It's called the Salvi Splash, not the only guy who played every day splash.
Okay, so no. When Witt does it, it's a Gatorade bath.
When Witt does, I'm sorry. I love Witt, but to me, the only person to do the splash is Salvi. Nobody else. Witt could come out there with some damn cups and poured it over his head. I've seen Lorenzo do that before to Salvi, but to me, the only person. Who does the Salvi? Don't look at me like that. The only person should be doing the Salvi splash in my heart is Salvi.
So you wanted Nicky Lopez just to stand out there and just kick it with Joel?
Sure.
He can't have a moment that literally every other Major League Baseball team does. Now I understand that I am an outsider.
Shaving cream, shaving cream, everything else. You were there. Yeah. You know the Salvi splash. Yeah. Stop.
Okay, I know I'm not a Kansas City son, but do you people think that that's unique? Ronald, do you think that's unique?
To hear the Salvi splash is unique.
Well, yeah,
I know
the
Carl
Salvi.
Banks does it right. With the Giants. I know people do it, but to hear when someone gets a splash of Gatorade after the game, that is Salvi to me.
Great reference with Carl Banks in 2019. I'm sure that really landed with a lot
some of
our
them
listeners.
Do. It was the first one. It was you look at it and say Harry. He was the one who really started it.
The Salvi splash, yes, that is a Salvi splash. But let Nicky Lopez have his moment. Did you see the smile on that young man's face? He could not stop smiling. Like, even there were points in the game where you're like, all right, bud, let's go. This is it. This is the pros.
Yeah,
he was smiling throughout.
What would you have them do?
Shaving cream. They could do a lot of things. But the Salvi splash, to me, is Salvi. Ron. From the text line. You're an idiot. So what happens when Salvi retires? They can't do it anymore? Yes. It's over. It's called the Salvi. To me.
Well, then don't call it that. Stop calling it that.
Well, no, that's what it's called.
Call it the Celebration Splash.
It's not. It's called the Salvi Splash.
Well, we can start the change, Ron.
No. See, I'm looking at the text line. I guess I'm the only one who felt like, ugh. That's what hit me like, ugh.
Yes, you are the
it
only one.
I guess so. In every sport.
Yes.
You don't count.
No, you do, Steve.
Unique.
No, Steve doesn't count.
Okay.
No, he doesn't count. It's not unique. They named it after him.
No,
just
who's
because
they?
He was the guy that did it every day.
We did.
Right.
They could have put super glue in his jockstrap.
Because he was the only one that played 164 games a year.
And he didn't. Actually, Eske played every day.
Good one, Ron. You really showed Serta with your baseball knowledge. Nice work. Eat that, Steve.
I'm the only one here. Text line right now. I am the only one here. I'm the only one here who watched that and said, that should have only been Salvi. I'm the only one. Even Joel was like, man, that ain't man.
Come on, he wasn't.
Joel Goldberg
don't put words
like,
in Joel's
I
mouth.
I just felt it from Joel's heart.
Joel said, this ain't right, man.
This got to be Salvi, man. It's got to be. Come out with some cups. I bet Joel started to say, Witt, nope. You better grab some cups. This is a Salvi splash.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Welcome back in, Show and Vern. Your chance to win 1,000 bucks coming up at 10:30. Vern will have the next code word for you. First of four opportunities right here on Show and Vern to win 1,000 bucks. So be up and at 'em and ready to listen.
Here it comes. Swung on, line to left field, and it is a base hit. Here's Witt around third. Here's the throw to the plate. And Nicky Lopez has his first big league hit and his first big league RBI.
Radio Ryan Lefevre last night here on 610 Sports Radio. Nicky Lopez picking up that first career knock.
All right, don't worry, folks. The show, a.k.a. the Black Knight, a.k.a. Mr. Nasty, a.k.a. Mr. Steal Your Girl's Unattractive Friend, is here to let you know what it's about, right? I am here to let you know what Nicky Lopez's performance and his first game was about. I'm here to tell you.
All right.
Yesterday, to me, wasn't Vern about, like, oh, God, when I watched this, because I saw such excitement. When I watched this, this is what Nick's going to be. This is one of, this is what he is. This is what we're going to see. This performance, like going into yesterday's game, I did not expect, all right, man, this is it. The hell it might be. But I understand, like, it's his first game. So his first game, I think Serta used the word in our meeting this morning, adrenaline. Adrenaline will be pumped. He will be, I think, super focused, maybe as focused because he's so into it. I don't want to mess up. This is my first game in the big leagues. My mama's here. My daddy's here. My sibling's here. You know she's here. And, like, it's you are hyper into it, and you are focused in a major way. So I never really take the first performance and say, all right, this is what I know we're going to get. Give me about 2-3 weeks down the line when, as some would say, baseball happens and you're in a routine and you got to play this way every day and your focus isn't always in tune as much as it is the very first time you play. But what I was impressed and what I wanted to see, Vern, was how he handled a big moment, because this is a big moment. This is your first game, your first at bat. There was buzz about you. People were out there to see you. And I thought, for the most part, Vern, I was impressed that he handled it overall and handled a big moment and showed, like, at least he showed he's not going to be, you know, maybe this reference may not go over people's heads, but Joey Harrington, that when he plays the big moment, oh, he's going to crap the bed. In this moment, the big moment, Nicky Lopez seemed like he was good to go.
Your reference for crapping your pants in the big moment is Joey Harrington.
Man, when he started playing with the Lions, you could tell immediately this is too big for him.
Just so random. We've already referenced Carl Banks and Joey Harrington 21 minutes into the
But that
program.
Was the impressive thing, too, because I think a lot of people
but
got
what
it.
What was impressive?
I just think a lot of people got it. Well, that
it's
he
one
handled.
Baseball game. What are we talking about?
Yes, I'm not. I didn't look at yesterday's game and then say I'm on a profile that this is going to be the type of player that Nicky Lopez is going to be off of the one game, because I think his adrenaline was up. But the big thing that you do take from stuff like this is, these are big moments. Maybe no moment may be bigger than his first game where everyone's paying attention and you didn't see crap the bed moments. You didn't see nerves. That's what I take. Yesterday's performance, that could be him, but I'm not banking on that. I want to see him in July. And then let's see, that'll determine what type of guy you're getting. I thought I saw that a lot yesterday from fans saying, see, this is what he adds. Hell, how the hell we know that? It's one game.
But it, yeah. Look, why not? I'll be positive.
Because I didn't take that from Lucas Duda last year after his first game. I didn't take this what Lucas Duda's going to give
us. Lucas Duda's first game as a Royal, he hit a 3-run home run in the first inning.
I didn't take, like, this is what we're going to get from Lucas Duda.
Lucas Duda's your reference. Hang on, man. I can't have a conversation with you if you're going to be making these type of references because you lose me.
That was a good one.
Carl Banks, Joey Harrington, and now Nicky Lopez isn't Lucas Duda.
Are you
going to
keep up with him?
Well, what are we talking?
I'm just saying what you said last year.
I can't.
Lucas Duda's first game, he hit a 3-run homer. I didn't take away from that, well, this is that he's going to be a big power bat. No, I didn't take that from them.
Good. You shouldn't.
Some might.
There's not much to read into what Nicky Lopez did last night. You like to see a kid that's willing to choke up on the bat when he's down 0-2. That's nice. His willingness to go the other way. Yeah, that's nice. But again, he's a gap-to-gap hitter. You better choke up. You better be able to go the other way when your lifetime slugging percentage is, you know, around 400. You're a guy that has three more extra base hits than Chris Owings on the season. Power develops late, but I'm not expecting a lot of power to ultimately develop with Nicky Lopez. Yeah, yes, last night it was great to see a kid bounce around the diamond with a smile on his face at all times. I'm with you. I was happy to see Nicky Lopez last night, too. But calm down.
What am I?
It's just, there's nothing to read into. I don't know why we're even discussing it.
I didn't say, I literally came out and said, I think people are going too much and saying what they saw yesterday is going to be the player they're going to see. All I'm saying, that's not the case because we don't know. Give me 2-3 weeks. All I'm saying is the thing that was impressive last night is that he didn't seem like the moment was too big in a big moment.
Because he's not there. I don't think you can call that a big moment. Yes, he was very nervous and all of that.
Oh, that wasn't a big moment.
Man, you are just, you're out of your body in that moment, in your big league debut. It's all a mirage. It's all dreamlike. Pressure is late in a big game coming up to the dish. Let's see him handle that. I'm not throwing any bouquets his way. I'll give him a hearty pat on the back and say, let's see what you do tonight against a lefty in Mike Minor.
From the 913, I keep trying to listen to you guys, but Ron is such an idiot, I can't. Bye. That's what they said to me.
It's peace. Right,
no, I want to give you a hug because I love you.
I remember you used to hug me.
You won't let me buy you a new pair of shoes.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I've done nothing to you.
I've explained. That's just purely spite. I'm big enough to admit that.
I'm just big enough. Can I transition to this, please? Because last night it was great to be Nicky Lopez. And I think if anybody were to pick an athlete, they'd say in Kansas City, quote, I'd love to be Patrick Mahomes. That's who they'd want to be. I think there is somebody in the Chiefs organization that has it at least as good, maybe better than Patrick Mahomes. And that's Eric Bieniemy. It must be fantastic to be Eric Bieniemy. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, that you're going to get a raise and a head coaching job next year. It would be the upset of the century if Eric Bieniemy is not a head coach in the National Football League next year. You know you're going to get paid. You know you're going to get a job to be able to run your own team. This year, you're not going to catch any criticism or blame. If this offense struggles, which the odds are with Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, if healthy, that they're not going to struggle, you're not going to get any blame. You're just getting praise. And you're even going to get praise potentially about stuff that you may not even have a big deal to handle. The running backs. They don't have a great running back right now. If the running backs are successful next year, even though Bieniemy's not the running backs coach, Vern, I think he'll get a lion's share of the credit. It must be great. You're going to have a new job. You're going to get paid big money to be a head coach in the NFL. Nothing but praise. It must be great to be Eric Bieniemy right now. And you get to hold up court for 10 minutes every week and just say whatever.
So you're telling me when Eric Bieniemy's sitting in his office and Mike Kafka walks by, Bieniemy's happy that he's who he is and doesn't look at Mike Kafka and go, that guy's got the perfect situation.
No. He's closer to the money.
Is he, though?
Yeah. You think Mike Kafka's going to get the head coaching job before Eric Bieniemy?
History would say, yeah, probably. So, yeah. Sign me up to be Mike Kafka. You can be Eric Bieniemy all you want. You know who I'm riding with. I'm riding that white lightning all the way to an NFL head coaching job.
Just such a race baiter. Your chance to win $1,000 coming up at 2 minutes.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
All right, 10:30, your first of four chances to win $1,000 in the National Cash Contest here on Show and Vern. Text the word REACT to 72881, REACT to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Your next chance is coming up at 11:30, but you got 12 chances each and every day this week from 7 in the morning until 7 at night. Listen on the 30s for your chance to win. The code word right now in the National Cash Contest, REACT, REACT. Text REACT to 72881. That's 72881.
Hey, tomorrow, every Thursday, 10 a.m., the release of Show and Family, Show Family Podcast, brought to you by our beautiful sponsors, the Metropolitan Missionary Baptist Church. We'll have the latest episode tomorrow, 10 o'clock. I think an entertaining podcast. Got good reviews, good feedback back with it. My wife is probably better at it than I am. You know what that's like, Vern. So check that out tomorrow, 10 a.m. I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
All right, this from the Boston Globe. Ben Violin, let's call him. Ben Violin of the Boston Globe reports that Bill Belichick will serve as the defensive coordinator for the New England Patriots this season. Kansas City Chiefs fans, ladies and gentlemen, it is indeed time to rejoice. I understand how difficult it's been for a lot of you to... because it's been just as difficult for myself and Ron Hughley.
Hi.
Just as difficult for us to head into this season knowing what is possible, but to also know that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick wait. That eventually you're going to have to take down Goliath, and when it matters most, we've seen that the Chiefs aren't able to, most teams are not able to. But this decision right here, Bill Belichick's decision to take on defensive play calling for the first time in 9 years. I will be the defensive coordinator. This is the first time, and it's something that we talked about yesterday. We talked about how, you know, the beauty of Tom Brady is his awareness to know, I could get more credit, but I'd rather get more rings. I'd rather stay tied to Bill Belichick and continue winning these rings. The acknowledgement of, I need you just like you need me. This, to me, is the first time we've seen Bill Belichick bite off more than he can chew. Bill Belichick will have so much going on over the course of a game that some of the greatness that ultimately pushes the Patriots to championship after championship, some of that greatness will disintegrate over the course of 17 weeks. The last time Bill Belichick was the play caller for the Patriots defense, they lost their first playoff game. They lost to Mark Sanchez and the New York Jets. Kansas City Chiefs fans, maybe next to Tyrann Mathieu and the firing of Bob Sutton, the news of the offseason, the best news of the offseason, is Bill Belichick's ego. Finally, after a decade and a half, Ron, it's gotten the best of him.
Really? Really? God, you sound like a Homer Chiefs fan. Like you are clinging and grasping.
Rip your pants off, Ron.
Because
the path to the Super Bowl is now being paved by Bill Belichick and his ego.
That's right. I feel better about Bill Belichick taking more control of the defense.
Bill Belichick used to delegate the ancillary things that will steal your time away from game planning. Those ancillary things are now sitting on the desk of Bill Belichick. That behooves the Kansas City Chiefs, whether you want to accept it or not. But when you and I are celebrating a postseason victory over the New England Patriots, we'll point back to this day. And you'll go, Vern?
There might be. I
never should have doubted you, buddy.
I'm sure that
I'll forgive you.
I'm sure that take to the Homer fans in Kansas City, they will grip that. I'm sure the text line would be like, you know what, Vern? I didn't think about that. Hell yeah, to you being honest with yourself. Say it out loud. Bill Belichick taking more control of the defense. like he doesn't take control or like he hasn't taken control
so what's new
of
then?
The defense.
So
in the
what's
past.
New then? So what's this?
What's new? I would still bet that they're going to win the championship. This is not a poor positive thing for the Chiefs what? Of Bill Belichick
oh,
taking
you're
over.
So off, man.
I'm not. No, you're off. Still, they got Brady and whatever his name is, a coordinator over there, Josh McDaniels. They're fine offensively, and Bill has his nose in the defensive game plan all the time. Him taking more control over the defense does not sound like a good thing for the Chiefs.
So what did the defensive coordinator do prior to this season? The last 8 years, what has that defensive coordinator been doing?
Ask Bill.
The things that Bill doesn't want to do. I agree that Bill Belichick's the one in charge of the defense, but he delegates the crap to the defensive coordinator. Well, open up, Bill, because that crap is sitting on your desk. Chiefs fans, today is arguably the third best day of the offseason because Bill Belichick has made Andy Reid's job a whole hell of a lot easier.
See, working with you has made it easier for me to understand. Like, I am the Black Knight here. I am the villain. Because when you say something stupid, and everyone knows it's stupid, Bill Belichick taking more control. Everyone out there knows it's stupid. But we're getting it in. Well, you know what? Great. Great take, Vern.
Thank you.
Yeah. Great take, Vern. That's just stupid. Because Lord knows, if you said the Salvi thing, people would have said, you know what, Vern? I'll tell you. That makes sense. It's okay. You know that's silly. You know it. You're trying to Tom Martin me like he did last night. You know that.
Is that what this is about?
It feels
Are
like.
Are you unhappy with your television performance?
Oh, I was just fine with it.
I thought you did great.
I kept moving and swaying too much, but we'll pick that up, you know. But no, that was just silly. You don't believe it.
I do believe it. That's why I just said it into a microphone and why so many people agree with it.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed in you on that. A little disappointed.
As long as my mama's proud, that's all I need.
Well, you're right there. And Judy is proud. Yeah. She should be. You're a great guy. Thank you. That stupid take you just gave.
Thank you.
And I'm a guy who gives stupid takes.
Thank you.
You know it. That was a great take, Vern. 100%.
Thank you.
That person doesn't believe you from the 816.
All right.
Nope. The whole time, I kind of tuned you out.
Oh, great.
Because after you gave that take, it was just so ridiculous that my mind went other places.
Sure.
And well, I was
so it's not a pick Vern up kind of day. We're done with that.
All right. I just complimented you about your mom, Judy. But I was on here looking up this thing where it's at the top. I don't know how I got here. It's talked about the top 25 accents in America. Number two was the Boston one. I feel like I would be more attractive if I had a Boston accent. Like right now, I feel like tomorrow when I go to the barbershop, shout out Dan Boyd, and I get a fresh cut, and he gets his beard together and fades me out nice. And when I put on a solid outfit, very much like I had last night on TV, I'm about a 7, strong 7. If I had that accent, I think I could be flirting with a 7.5, 8.
Okay. Okay.
I don't even want to.
I don't want to have this conversation because I can't say anything nice.
I don't want to. I mean, I don't even want to try it because I don't have a good Boston accent, but I really feel like if I did.
The Boston.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't. I've never thought the Boston accent was cool.
Oh, yeah, it is. Everyone knows that. Also by the poll.
Haven't, that stuff, that's sexy.
Wicked. If I said, if I could say it
wicked
right.
Wicked smart, that's sexy?
Yeah, yeah.
I think you're just
endlessly
horny.
Wicked smart. Yeah. Shows wicked. See, if I had it.
So you just want to sound like Matt Damon from
Good
Will.
Oh, if I sounded like the Black version of Matt Damon. Oh, God.
Who is the Black version of Matt Damon?
Me. If I sounded like him, Ben Affleck pulled J-Lo in her prime.
Now,
in her
prime.
Yeah, but
prime. They made that trash movie together.
Can Geely. Someone give me a black guy with a Boston accent real quick?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of one. Frantically.
I mean, you'd be unique, it seems like.
Was there somebody in The Departed?
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, I don't. Any think, of I you think out they're all there? White.
Any of you?
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's the thing is Boston is renowned for its racism
and its great accents. Why you gotta pull that in, man? We're just talking about the accent. I'd be a 7.5, 8.
See, because I'm trying to get away from that, bud. I don't want to have that conversation on the air because I pride myself on being honest, and I don't want to acknowledge that.
Well, be honest, punk.
No, I'm just saying that I can't.
I don't think there's any black people.
Can't think of a black guy with a Boston accent. Like,
Bobby Brown. They're all from Boston.
I don't think so.
All of New Edition. That Ralph Tresvant, did he have one?
I don't think so.
When does Don Cheadle have a Boston accent?
Yeah,
isn't he from here?
Sort of, but really Denver.
Okay, well then, no.
Somebody said Don Cheadle.
Yeah, they're wrong.
Lennox Lewis is British, isn't he?
Yeah, sure he doesn't have a Boston accent.
Keep thinking that. Black guy with a Boston accent. Whoa, just say the one thing you were going to say that was going to be mean. You said you were going to be truthful and honest.
Just I don't even remember what I was going to say that was going to be mean about you rating yourself as an 8. I don't remember that. I don't remember what I was going to say about
Hold on, hold on. Are you saying, you're going to look me square in my eyes, you're saying you don't think there's any way that I could reach 8?
35's weird, man. 35 is weird.
I really hate you. I
can't be honest now with my friend?
You're not even being honest. You won't even say it. It's because you think I'm fat, don't you?
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
This is crazy. I guess you just cannot find black folks with the Boston accent. It's like two different ones.
Yeah, it's science.
No one. It's science?
I don't know.
No, it's not science. Remember, your next chance to win $1,000 coming up at 11:30. I you're right, man. We're going through it during the break, and they just don't have the accent. I've listened to every member of New Edition, and they're all from Boston. I don't know. I think Whitney took it out of Bobby.
That's why you wake up every day. You learn something new, man.
You really do, right? Right. There should be a love affair with Whit Merrifield, the same that there is with Danny Duffy. Yesterday, I think his comments should get Royals fans amped because it's really not just what he said, but more importantly, Vern, the genuine nature of what he said. This, to me, should be right up there with Danny Duffy's Bury Me a Royal, just with how genuine it was. And how much you should feel where he's coming from.
I feel like I worked, you know, and turned myself into one of the best second basemen in the world, really. And now it's best for this team for me to play outfield. And I'm excited for that challenge. I'm ready for that challenge. I'm excited for Nicky. You know, I really am. He's a great kid, a great player from what I've seen, and I'm excited to see what he can do up here. I really think he's going to help our team. And at the end of the day, I'm sick of losing. I really am. And we think he's going to make us better. And whatever he's going to make us better is what we're excited for.
Right there, though, man. If you're a Royals fan and you listen to that, I mean, after you get off the point of where he really flexed early in that by letting you know that he is one of the best second basemen in the world. And I'll take my talents to the outfield. But that last part there, Vern, I am sick or tired of losing. Sometimes, and you all know it, you could probably think of athletes in your head right now. Blake Griffin, you could think of athletes in your head. I'm sure you got a few right now, Vern, that rolls through. Matt Stafford, who says stuff, but you don't really. Like, come on, you're just saying the stuff that you're supposed to say. When I listen to Witt's voice there, and when he says, I'm sick or tired of losing, sick of it. It seems so genuine. And everything that he said in the last few weeks, this has really come about for me with Whit. He sounds so genuine. Like, I would be shocked if we found out that Whit is, you know, someone just doesn't give a rip anything. Not only is his action showing it, willing to move anywhere to do it, but I really feel that from him. He is tired of this 14, 15 wins and being 11 back before the end of May and out of it. He is tired. He's not. He's hungry. He wasn't on any of those championship, AL championships and World Series teams. He doesn't have a ring. He wasn't a part of that. I don't even think Witt's been a part of a winning season. He is sick and tired of losing, and I felt that from him. And that, to me, should ingratiate him to this Kansas City fan base, much like the Bury Me a Royal with Danny Duffy. Because, man, just like many of you out there, he is tired of it. And he's letting it on. And you can feel that he's honest about that. Witt's starting to get me.
Yeah, to me, I just can tell how annoyed he is.
Yes.
Now he's going to – no, I don't mean with the losing. I mean with getting moved to right field. I
thought you meant with me.
No. He would be, but no. Look, Whit Merrifield being an everyday right fielder, I will not be surprised if he becomes one of the 7 or 8 best right fielders in Major League Baseball. That's the kind of work that this guy puts in every single day. And when he was a second baseman and being moved all around, he would put in the proper amount of work at second base, center field, third base, first base. The guy is a worker. Ron,
yes.
You know what it's like to be a worker.
I'm a worker, baby. Yeah. Say it with, I'm a worker, oh, baby. Oh!
But the point is, Whit Merrifield, to me, what Dayton Moore and Ned Yost did with this move to right field is just further dig that chip in his shoulder even deeper. This is a guy that throughout his career has either easily found or searched to find reasons to be angry, to feel like he needs to prove something. Whether it's you overlooked me in 2015 and chose Ben Zobrist over me, it's you guys thought my first year was a fluke, you guys think I'm done at 30.
I'll never earn the amount of money I should.
You guys don't think I'm going to earn the contract that I was given. And now today, Whit Merrifield is as annoyed as he's ever been. I was, as he said, one of the best second basemen in the world. You can make a case. I mean, over the past 2 years, I've been the best second baseman in the world. And that's not good enough for you guys?
Text line said they don't know if he's in, they think he's just in the top 50.
Top 50.
Second baseman.
Oh, well, the text line's wrong on that. Yeah, Whit Merrifield has been one of the 5 best second basemen for the past 2.5 years.
Easy. When they put his numbers up next to Altuve in the Astros series, many of them were better.
And it's not good enough. That's going to be his attitude. So I would expect the best of Whit Merrifield for the next 1.5 years. I was expecting somewhat of a downtick the next few years. But this, that chip is fresh, and you're gonna see the best of Whit Merrifield in right field throughout this season.
Yeah, man. You bring the best out of me. Newsflash.
Serta's newsflash.
This can't be the best.
Got a little breaking New York Jets news, but that's not where I want to go right here. Kansas State head basketball coach Bruce Weber will represent the United States on the world stage this summer. Weber will serve as the head coach of the USA Basketball's under-19 team, which will compete at the FIBA Under-19 World Cup in Greece from June 29th to July 7th.
Oh, this is big for K-State. Bruce Weber taking over the post that was previously held by Sean Miller and before that, Billy Donovan. A 2-time national champion. That's the Oklahoma City Thunder head coach. That's an Arizona Wildcat head. That's big stuff. You're going to be around some real talent. Congratulations, Bruce Weber and the K-State program. That's quite the honor bestowed upon Bruce Weber, Ron. As the home of K-State athletics, we, as a radio station, are very proud of you, coach. Very proud.
Yeah. Had to be the first choice. I think that's who they were looking for, was Bruce Weber.
I'd say he was like 15.
You think that 20 to 25.
Would you two stop it?
Congratulations, coach.
No, congratulations.
Not that he's not doing great work.
Well, great. He's not doing great work. He's doing a solid job at K-State.
K-State should be a power.
I said he's doing a solid job at K-State.
I mean, what kid who's just on that under 19 team
okay,
is?
Let me ask this question real quick. Who won the Big 12 last year?
Texas Tech.
And?
K-State.
And you're a Kansas fan, and that's why you can't just give it up to Bruce Weber? Unbelievable. I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
Oh, I can just
Classic KU.
I can speak honestly about
Classic
it.
Classic KU fan. Hey. Congratulations, coach, from all of us here at 610 Sports
Radio. Yeah, congratulations. I mean, just want to know how many people stepped aside on that sucker. I know Bruce Pearl's one of them. You are really
Lon Kruger.
Easily. Lon
Bob
Kruger.
Huggins.
That guy at
Shaka
Oklahoma
Smart.
State. Shaka turned it down.
Shaka?
Yeah.
Shaka's at Texas and can't win.
Yeah.
Bruce is winning conferences in Manhattan.
And tournament games. Oh, wait. Vern tells me that...
Shaka won a bunch of NIT games this year.
Shaka's been in the Final Four. Vern tells me that I'm in the minority of Royals fans when it comes to this. When it comes to my reaction of the ridiculous report that the Royals are making a run at the second wild card. If I'm in the minority, that's fine, Vern. I can live with that.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.